This episode of the One Board Podcast is brought to you by Murder on the Cosmic Express from Screech Dragon Studios. Now, you know, these days I don't have a lot of time for gaming. Got a new baby in the house, you know, at work, time is short with the students or with coworkers. I need something that I can play quickly. And you know, I also really like social deduction games, but you know, those, they generally go over several rounds and you don't have a lot of, you know, you can't do it quickly and it's going to take some time to explain the rules and all that. You know, I don't have time for all of that, guys. So what I want is something like Murder on the Cosmic Express, a social deduction game that takes 5 minutes to play. 5 minutes! So you can quickly explain the rules, people can play, and you know what? If you've only got time for one or two games, that's fine. If you want to sit down and play 20 games in a row, that's fine too. And it's got enough variety in the different roles that you can be so that you can have a different gaming experience each time. Guys, check out Murder on the Cosmic Express. It's available on Amazon. It's only like 10 bucks. Guys, 10 bucks? You know, but some people spend more on that at the drive-thru for McDonald's. Come on. So go check out Murder on the Cosmic Express from Screech Dragon Studios. Hello and welcome to the One Board Podcast. I am Rick White, and joining me is a man who never gives fruit for a treat at Halloween. He always gives candy, the best candy. That is Ryan Gutowski. How are you, sir?
I only give out Smarties. Oh. I gotta confess.
I don't know if I need to retract my intro then.
Yeah, I feel like you need to. I just don't feel like giving out candy that's expensive. I hate people.
Well, that's the thing is, you know, I don't know if we might have to take your title of like King of Halloween away if you're only giving out Smarties. I don't know.
That's true. I actually, the two worst candies are Smarties and Tootsie Rolls. They're both trash candy.
Oh no. I kind of like Smarties, to be fair. Like, like if you compare like Smarties to like those Valentine's Day hearts that they give you, like Smarties are 20 times better. But
that's like saying, well, it's either Necco wafers or anything.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? So, yeah. I will tell you that there was a dentist who lived in my neighborhood when I was a kid, and he gave out apples. And he also, 1 year, he gave out dollar bills, which was a huge mistake. And he never gave them out again. Yeah, he never did it again.
Yeah, I would think
not. But I remember that year. Greatest Halloween ever.
Yeah, we went by his house in several different costumes.
I grew a mustache, shaved the mustache, grew a mullet. Went by with a beard, a goatee, a soul patch.
Yeah.
I was only 7. Yeah. So.
It's pretty impressive. Weren't you a pirate yet last? Like, didn't I already see you? Actually, no, I was a left eye pirate. This time I'm a right eye pirate. It's a completely different costume. Give me a dollar.
Totally different classification of pirate.
Yeah, exactly.
How dare you?
That's impressive. That is dedication to not giving candy.
That really is.
More so than cool. I could ever do.
Rick, we're here to talk about board games.
Why?
Even though I love talking about Halloween.
Why can't we just sit here and talk about Halloween?
We could. And make it another Halloween episode.
You know what? I think that's what the people are asking for.
That's all they're asking for. If you haven't, speaking of Halloween, if you haven't already caught up, you can find our Halloween live streams on YouTube and Facebook. Go to facebook.com/oneboardfamily or youtube.com/oneboardfamily. And you can find live streams of 3 amazing Halloween games as of date. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
So, cool. So what have you been playing, Rick?
Well, Ryan, I managed to, right before we got on this episode, play a game. I told Sarah, I was like, we got to play something so I have something to talk about. It's important. We played Capital Lux, which is a game that is actually, I think, out of print at this point. But it's from Aparta Games. So it's one of those games that I saw a few years back and I was like, I'd like that. And it's sat on my games I want list for like 3 years. And then went to Dice Drop in Macon, and they had a new copy. And so I picked it up. And
sweet.
Yeah, it's I really liked it because of the artwork. But it's one of those things where I guess it being on my most wanted list, it built up for years and years. And I was like, I must have this game. Where really it was like, it was just a card game I was mildly interested in. But I did finally get to play it. Sarah and I set up a two-player version of it today and had a good time with it. Basically, it's a card game. Thematically, I don't think it makes any sense at all. You know, but you know, there's a lot of card games that don't. But anyway, there are four suits represented by four futuristic-looking people, and they are cards numbered 2 to 6. And plays 2 to 4 players. Each player has 6 or 4 cards in their hand that they get Sushi Go style. And so on your turn, you can play a card in front of you, or you can play a card to what's called the capital, which is the set of cards in the middle. And what you're trying to do is have your cards that are in front of you in your neighborhood be less than the cards in the capital as far as value without going over. So the biggest amount of value without going over. And if you go over at by the end of the round, which is when somebody runs out of cards, you have to get rid of all the cards of that particular color and discard them. So there are each card, whenever you add it to the capital, you get certain things, get little powers. So you can get a token that allows you to kind of balance it out. If the capital's not quite where it needs to be, you can give points to the capital. Another one allows you to play a points modifier card face down to one of the sets. And there's a couple other things. You can get a new card. You could draw a card from the capital and add it to your neighborhood. But basically, you play till somebody runs out of cards. Everybody else gets to play one more card, and then those the leftover cards are added to the cap to their neighborhoods. And like I said, you have to discard anything that's more the capital. You do that 3 rounds. And what's interesting is that if you have the most points for a color without going over, you get to take the highest value card. Well, what that does is now, like, so if I had 7 and the capital had 8 and I take a 5-point card away, well, now I've got 7 and the capital's only got 3. You hang on to your cards into the next round. So while I had an advantage in getting that card as a bonus that I'll add to my final score later, I'm now in a predicament where it's going to be tougher for me to survive to the end of the next round because I've already got so many points laid out in front of me. Does that make sense?
Yeah.
And so it's kind of this balance where you're always trying to keep alive your cards in front of you, but also like the capital's definitely got to be higher and you've got to watch other people to see what they're going for, to see if you can mess with them. It's pretty fun. It was good 2-player. I think it would be more fun 3 or 4 because we, like the last round, we didn't have any cards of a particular suit at all in our hands. So we kind of couldn't play with that at all. I think with having more people, you'd have more influence all over the board. So it was a pretty good little card game. If you can find it, I would look it up and, you know, maybe this is one. It's hard to do reviews of games that are out of print. Yeah. But
do you feel like there's a reason why this is out of print? Is there another card game that seems like it or something that has probably replaced it over the years?
There might be. It's just, I mean, it's not, I don't think it stands out as like this most amazing game in the world. You know, of all the card games out there, and it's probably just kind of got lost in the shuffle. Ha ha ha, shuffle.
Nice. But I see what you did there.
Yeah. I worked really hard for my comedy. And so, you know, I don't know, maybe there's different things. Maybe it has been replaced. I don't know. But it is good. I really like the art. It's, futuristic.
That's the thing. I remember seeing Capital Lux a couple years back and the art was the thing that like, I was like, oh snap, that looks good.
Yeah.
So,
yeah. I mean, it is solid mechanics and it's a twist on card games and set collection and, I guess you could call it set collection, but basically it's got elements to it that make it unique from other games that make it worth playing. If you find it somewhere, maybe pick up a copy of it. If you find it for a good price, but yeah, it's a pretty nice game. I enjoyed it. I'm glad I was able to pick up a copy.
That's awesome. So I'll be talking about, Kahaku.
Bless you.
Sneezed right into the mic.
There you go.
Did you play this Gold Seal game? It was being demoed at Southern Fried Gaming Expo, and we actually, Bob actually took a copy home from Southern Fried, and he's been playing it a lot, and then actually brought it back to us so that we could play it while the Kickstarter is going on currently. Did you play this?
I did not, but I did see you guys talk about it a few times, and I saw our friend Mondo posted about it today. It's got a little bit of buzz going around our little gaming group. So, and Bob was, you know, pumped about it. So,
yeah. So Bob did a preview for it for the Kickstarter. Kohaku is about building your own koi pond, and you are drafting koi and features from the board in the middle of the table and building your own pond. So each player, up to four players, will have their own little fishery, I guess, that you're going to be taking care of. And the way the scoring works is very interesting, because the scoring is all based on the different water features. So you may have a frog that gives you 1 point for each surrounding dragonfly. You'll have some sort of concrete statue. It scores for every, the more things surrounding it, the higher score you get. Mm-hmm. Okay. It's a lot of really cool different scoring mechanisms. And while I don't see it paying off for somebody to try to get every single scoring type, but if you stick to a couple colors, two or three colors, you stick to a couple different types of features, you can score some crazy points. We've played it. Aaron and I have played it three times. I have gotten to play it probably seven or eight times. I love it. It is a very, very chill game. Kohaku is...
That would be weird if a koi pond game was like uptight and tense.
Oh, yeah, yeah. If it was super stressful, yeah. And you were like, no!
It'd be like if Bob Ross made you like punch your friend.
Yeah, yeah. And it does fit into that Bob Ross style of game where you're just drafting and you're putting it somewhere and you're like, I just want to maximize my points, and it's real serene.
I just want to build my little koi pond, man. I just
build my little koi pond.
Yeah, just let me sit and build my
koi. I taught another couple how to play tonight, and I said, listen, we played some crazy party games just a minute ago. Why don't we just chill with this game? And they really enjoyed it.
Put on
and
some
so
music.
They really dug
some,
it.
You know.
What now?
Put on some music, lit some candles, had a waterfall sound effect in the background.
Yeah. Maybe some whales. Because whales.
Whales and koi ponds. You know what? Yeah. That's the expansion. The expansion is there's this giant, huge tile that goes in the middle and you build around a whale.
That's exactly right. So
you heard it here first, people. Stretch goals.
Stretch goals. We need more whales in this game. Yep. So if that sounds like a game that you would be into, check out Kohaku. I will, in the show notes of this episode, I'll point to the preview that Bob wrote, and then you can also find it on Kickstarter just for probably till, I think it's to the middle of November, I believe. But this is a really good one, and I will tell you the deluxe version. I've seen there's a regular version, which is cardboard tiles and everything. The deluxe version comes with a mat, a play mat, and it also has, oh man, those acrylic tiles are so beautiful. I saw the heat pressed final tiles that Andrew had. They are super nice, and that deluxe version is ridiculous.
Yeah,
that's
much better than having acrylic panels for your board game. That would be.
That's true.
Yeah,
that's true.
I mean, maybe not. So, I don't know. Maybe that's what the people are asking for.
Some people like acrylic nails on their board games.
That's the way to do it. Awesome, Ryan.
So, Rick, well, the exact opposite of what I just talked about.
Yeah, it's the one I want to talk about. Something that's not super chill, but still super fun.
Yeah.
Ryan, you remember Taco Cat Goji's Pizza, right?
I do, and I remember a child injuring his finger because of you.
Yeah, well, sometimes in life you have to slam a child's hand underneath your own. So we played this at Origins. We actually picked up a copy. I was just talking with the guy. There was an open booth that nobody showed up for, and the guy knew a guy at Origins and was like, hey, I'll give you some money, let me sell my game, because he was a local person.
Yeah.
Taco Cat Goat Cheese Pizza shows up. I talk about, you know, hey, it sounds like a family game. He's like, oh, here is a review copy then. And we have played it. We played it a few times at Origins, had a great time with that. And then I've played it at school, and my students love it.
Nice.
It's very basic. You have cards that have tacos, cats, goats, cheese, and yep. pizza on them. You flip them over. Every player has their own little stack. You flip yours over while saying those words in order, starting with taco. If you ever match the word and the animal, you have to slap the pile of the cards, and the last person to slap has to take all the cards and add them to theirs. There's a few others, like a narwhal and a gorilla and a groundhog, that you have to do special signs for. But it's really just a silly game, fun for families, fun for kids. It was, I think it's like $10 on Amazon. So mm-hmm. like of the games that you can go out and buy, like I think this is a pretty good one. It kind of in my mind goes with Happy Salmon or something like that, where it's yeah. like, you know, just something that you break out at Thanksgiving or, you know, other kind of family get togethers, and the younger kids will love it. It'll be a nice quick game. But also, yeah, I mean, my students have asked for it pretty much every week. They want to play it. So that and Blank Slate are their two biggest ones. So it's
That's
fun.
Awesome.
People
That's
should
really
check
cool.
it out. I enjoy it.
That's really cool. Yeah, that was a fun, silly game, man. And it goes into that category of fast hands and trying to just outwit your opponents, trying to fake people and make them smack the cards
yeah.
in front of you.
Yeah.
So that's always good.
Yeah,
so.
And it's not everybody's cup of tea, certainly, but
oh,
it's
yeah.
fun.
Yeah, it's definitely a party game. You get loud, get silly, so that's cool. My last one, I'm going to talk about Cult Express because we just played it again today. I haven't played Cult Express in probably 8 months or so, or more than that. But Cult Express is really silly and fun. Both you and I love Cult Express mm-hmm. because it's got that table presence of having a big cardboard train in the middle of the table. And you've got these meeples that fit in the train cars, and you're trying to get these different either diamonds or money bags, and then of course the biggest prize is the suitcase with $1,000 in it mm-hmm. that's being guarded by the marshal that's at the front of the train. So now this was fun because I had forgotten that our friend Chad over at 25th Century Games had an expansion, a quick little expansion called I think the Cursed Treasure or something like that.
Interesting.
It's basically the exact same. It's diamonds and money bags, but the diamonds and money bags are small values. So, for example, the very first money bag I picked up was only worth $2.
Wow.
Okay. Normally, your money bags are worth between $250 and I think $350, maybe $400. Mm-hmm. So, when I picked up that money bag, I was like, yeah, first one to get some oh, crap, it's $2. So, I had forgotten I threw the cursed treasure in there, and it just so happened one of my friends, she ended up getting two cursed treasures, which we all thought, man, she's in the running. She's definitely second place. Nope. She had a $5 diamond and a $2 bag, and I was like, oh no, that's the worst. So it was a lot of fun.
Super
throwing that
fun
in there.
/ frustrating. It's one of those where you're like, I'm going to laugh so I don't cry.
Yes. And that's the thing. Cult Express, you can't really take it too seriously because so much chaos happens. We were playing a 3-player game, which we usually play with 4 or 5, maybe even 6, just because it plays a larger group. And usually we have kids and adults playing. But this time it was just 3 adults. And my friend Anna told me, I like that game. I played it a couple of years ago. Let's play it. And so we ended up playing on the last turn of the game. I had plans of picking up a piece of treasure and then booking it to the roof and getting out of the way of anybody shooting me. Well, next thing you know, Anna and her husband are going back and forth, and she hits her husband and makes him drop the briefcase with $1,000 on it in it just before my program turn where I pick up a piece of jewel. Well, of
nice.
Course... it's either a jewel or the $1,000 briefcase. So I picked up the $1,000 briefcase, and she just looked at me. She was like, oh, come on. She had forgotten what I had played because everybody's programming and, you know, anything can happen at that point.
Right.
once the cards
play out. Most normals can't keep track of all the stuff that's been happening.
It's tough. It's really tough. As much as you try, you lose it somewhere along the line. And so I picked up that briefcase, booked it to the roof, and ended up winning by probably $500. So it was a good game. We had a lot of fun. And definitely, I need to bring that to the table more because it's definitely a family-friendly game. It's silly. A lot of junk talk. A lot of shooting each other in the face. That's the way we like our game nights.
As you should. As you should.
Yeah.
Awesome, Ryan. Well, speaking of expansions, today's episode is going to be all about them. So when we get back from this break, we are going to talk about what we look for in a great expansion and some of the ones that we like to bring to the table whenever we have a game night. So stick around and we'll talk to you after this break. Okay, and we are back. Now, Ryan, we talk about board games a lot, but one thing that we really don't talk all that much about are expansions.
Yeah.
And that's kind of weird because expansions are just as big of a deal, I think, in our board gaming community as the games themselves. People have a game that they love, they play it over and over again, and they're like, you know what, I'm enjoying this experience, but I just... it's been the same over and over again. I want it to be a little bit different.
Yeah.
People might be a little more familiar with expansions like in video games, like extra downloadable content and stuff where it adds a little something to your game. It's kind of like that for people that aren't as familiar with expansions. So, Ryan, what is it that you look for in an expansion for a game that you love?
I would say for me, a must-own expansion gives you... There has to be an extension to the gameplay. Something where if it is just more cards, I feel like it's missing, like there's got to be new functionality or something introduced to the game. A lot of times when you look at something like Dominion that has a billion expansions, like there are, people have favorites, but I think a lot of people, their favorites revolve around bringing in new concepts to the game or new cards that do something extra, like have more depth to it. I know that, you know, I've got a friend of mine that his desire is to have specific expansions for Dominion because him and his wife play Dominion a lot. Right. You know, so it's like, well, I like this one for this reason. I like this one for this reason, stuff like that. I don't buy a ton of expansions, and that's why I think this is an important conversation. You know, when we talk about where are you putting your money, a lot of times, instead of buying a $30 expansion, I will usually go buy another game, you know? Yeah. But there are certain expansions that I love because it changes the gameplay, adds to it, adds depth, and creates a game that I want to play even more than the original. And that's right. Why this is, because I want to put my money in the right place, you know?
Right.
So.
Yeah, and it's got to be something that you're already bringing to the table.
Yes.
And, you know, it often I think helps that you've got a regular group so that, you know, you're not... It can be difficult to teach all the rules of something and then also say, now here's an extra thing, you know, that we're needing to talk about because this is the expansion. Because often that involves having a whole nother set of rules that you're having to explain, which... you're already trying to shorten that part of the experience anyway. But if it's simple enough to where you can kind of throw it in, and of course this, we're talking more expansion, something that significantly changes the rules versus like a promo, which might be like a slightly different thing, added to a game to make it different. This changes, you know, an element. And like you said, in some games, I think one thing that I like is if you've got expansions, something that you can combine with other expansions for certain games. You know, there are some that, you know, here's an expansion. All right, here's a whole nother expansion that doesn't play well with the other one. You're like, oh, well, that I don't like that. It's something that needs to be able to be, I like interchangeable pieces so that I can kind of add some variety each time I'm playing.
And you do have, like, let's just talk about the different types of expansions. You've got expansions that are just new cards. So it might add another element of gameplay. I'm going to be reviewing, I'm going to be doing an audio review for Campy Creatures Expansion 1, which is card-based. I mean, it's all card-based, you know, new functionality. And then you have other things that introduce maybe a new board. So you've got something like Formula D, where the expansion is just a new track, you know, or a new world to explore. A good example would be something like Small World. You know, they have a couple different expansions that help you to explore something new, but you also get some new functionality with it. You've got games that totally change some of the focus of the game, you know, and that's like some of the Dominion expansions and things like that. I know Clank, one of my wife's favorite expansions is Clank the Mummy's Curse. It changes enough of the game that it makes it fresh, and it adds this random element where you roll a die, and that die is going to move the mummy around the board and attack different players that are going through the mummy's tomb. And so it's really cool. That's a different element than the, you know, of course, the dragon track, where the dragon's getting angrier and angrier. You know, so it adds new functionality, adds a new place to explore, and it feels very different. So when you've played Clank 20 times, you say, I really want to play Mummy's Curse, you know? So, and I like that. I like that. And I like the price point for some of these. I think the Silk and Gold, I think it's called, expansion for
for Are you talking Clank. About a Pokemon game now? Is that
Silk and Gold? Yeah, Pokemon Silk and Gold. No, the Clank Silk and Gold, I think it's called, is a two-sided board. It's in a blister pack versus a box like the other Clank expansions. And they did that to keep costs down, which really made sense because it's, I think it was $19, and I'll buy a new board with some new meeples and a couple cards for $19. You know, which was a great deal. And it's got two sides. You've got your mining for gold on one, and you are trying to escape from spiders' webs on the other. So
cool. And one thing I kind of enjoy are games that kind of have what they'll call a built-in expansion.
I mean,
I don't know if you can really call it an expansion because it's part of what already came in the game, but one game that I've bought quite a few different little parts to is Escape, the Curse of the Temple. You know, that's a game that we play all the time. And so the expansions allow us to do different things. You know, one big element of expansions is adding another player. And a few different games do that. I think as long as it maintains the balance, then you're doing fine, which I think Escape does. But, you know, these new tiles in Escape allow you to, you know, things can move around on the board as you're going through it, or you've got to work together in different ways than you were in the previous game. But it also comes with an expansion with Curses and Treasures. Those are built into the original game so that if you want to add another wrinkle to what you're doing. And one thing that I really like about Escape is that it's got the way that the expansions are set up. You can mix and match all you want, but if you're having a hard time with the game, you can kind of add this expansion to this expansion to make it easier for you. And if you want more of a challenge, maybe you go with this expansion and this expansion so that it's more difficult. And I think it provides some sort of, you know, player-aided balance to the game so that, you know, no matter what gaming group you've got and the experience level with the game, you're able to have an experience that's going to challenge everybody that's at the table.
While you talk about expansions that you really enjoy, I would say King of Tokyo has a ton of different expansions, and the expansions for that one just basically come as different characters. But I wanted to point out two expansions that I thought were really interesting because it adds a new element to the game. One would be the King Kong expansion for King of Tokyo, which adds a tower. It's actually King of Tokyo, King of New York. They actually add a tower that can be part of the win condition, you know, climbing this tower. That's pretty interesting. We play with it sometimes, and sometimes we leave it out. It depends on the group that we're playing with. And then the other one is the Halloween pack. It comes with two different characters. It comes with orange dice, which are awesome to play with because they're orange and black. Who doesn't love that? They're really cool and bright and colorful. And then you also get costumes in that expansion. So the costumes are things that your monsters wear, and it gives you additional abilities. So it's really cool to play with the Halloween costumes, because you get those costumes and you kind of have this added feature on your monster. I think the only thing that would be cooler is some sort of like snap-on costume. I don't think you could actually do it, but
I think you want paper dolls is what you're telling me.
Well, I want paper dolls, and I want paper dolls, the King of Tokyo edition. If you know, Yellow doesn't bring
you
that to me,
you should just get your paper sumo, paper stuff.
That's true. Paper sumo. We could just wrap around it. I think it would look good.
That's what you
do. But yeah.
No, I think for King of Tokyo, the main one that sticks out for me is Power Up, because you know, the original one did not have the powers that each character could get during the game, and I think those made the game so much better. I think I could be wrong, but I think the Power Up cards are now part of the regular game. Where, like, because they've got a new edition of King of Tokyo and King of New York, I think the power-up cards come with it. I could be wrong. But that, to me, makes the game so much better, where now you've got each character has more, they're more unique. They have things that separate them from each other. So I think that's good. Takedo is one whose expansions I think of because, you know, Takedo is a very chill game, kind of like Kohaku. Where you know, you're playing this to maximize your points, but it's got a little bit of competitive edge to it. And for the people that are wanting it to be more competitive, Takedo's got an expansion where every single place that you stop on the map, you can have two choices of what you do. And so there's a lot more strategy. You know, in the original game, a lot of what you do can be impacted by where is everybody else on the board. But this allows you, even if you go to a place that you're not necessarily wanting to go to, you're able to make a decision. So instead of letting the game happen to you, you get to impact it a little bit more. And I like it. I think it adds a lot to the gameplay.
It sounds like they address some criticism that some people had with the game. I like Takedo. I have not played, I may have played the expansion with you. I think you brought over the whole set one time, a couple years back. But yeah, so it is, it's definitely like, if some people don't like a certain element of gameplay, expansions can remedy that. The Bloody Inn is one of Aaron and I's favorite board games to play together. The Carnies edition, the Carnies expansion actually is three modules inside the box, which is really cool. It's something that I've seen in a couple different games, and I'm trying to remember, there was one recently that that I played that I was like, oh, well, this is kind of like the Carnies expansion, because you can take or leave some of these extra cards. And so what you do is the Carnies, they have, I think, I'm trying to remember, I wrote a review for this a while back, but I'm trying to remember the three different setups. I think Ant something's traps and tricks or something like that. There is a set of cards that actually like give you traps and things like that you can play against each other, which is really devious the way that they come in to play. And then you have the Carnies expansion inside the box, which is carnival workers that are coming through town, and they have a ton of different little rules. So when a Carny comes into the Bloody Inn and they're sleeping, they have a certain value if you kill them or hire them while they're sleeping. But then they have a different value for what they're worth when you bury them. And then you have some people like the Circus Midget, which you can bury for free. You basically bury in another occupied grave because he doesn't take up very much room. You have the Bearded Lady, which you're not allowed to bury on your own land, I guess because of being disgraced. You have to bury the Bearded Lady in somebody else's annex. It's really interesting, and when you introduce those characters, and then there's a whole nother set that actually takes out the, I think they're called the nobles or something like that, it takes out the green cards in the game and replaces them, which was actually one of my criticisms of the original game, was that the green cards just didn't seem they were kind of like fancy people, and they just didn't seem to matter that much. You know, mm-hmm. I feel like everybody was going after the abbot, and everybody was trying to get, you know, the gardener and the mechanic, and everybody's going for different people. But then these green cards just show up, and it's like, oh, whatever, let them leave. Right. I don't care. And so,
who even cares?
Yeah, it kind of changed that. And so you can play with all three expansions and have an insane, crazy free-for-all, or you can just add one module at a time, which is what we usually do, and really enjoy it.
Yeah, and I think that idea of, like we said with Takedo, having something that gets addressed where there was a shortcoming in the game before, and, you know, with all the work and stuff, you know, I figure somebody figures out, like, halfway through the end of production, oh, you know, we could do this and it would make it better. Yeah. I think, you know, having the opportunity to be able to do that, I think it's great when an expansion could do that. Well, like you said, we're going to be talking about Campy Creatures expansion, game from Keymaster Games. Yep. That we love that company, and, you know, we were big fans of Campy Creatures, so we're going to hear about your experiences with that expansion here on the other side of this break.
Yes, sir. Rick, we are back, and a game that I really love that I've been playing for a couple years now is Campy Creatures. Campy Creatures is by Keymaster Games, and when I saw last year that Campy Creatures was getting an expansion, I got super excited. But not only did it get an expansion, it also got a second version, a second edition. And so I'm going to be kind of doing an audio review for this, because I've already done a review for Campy Creatures proper, and I don't know about doing a written review right now for the expansion and things like that. I feel like an audio review would probably be fitting for this one. Yeah. So have you played Campy Creatures?
I have. You and I played it. It's been a while, but you and I played it and had a good time with it. I love the art, and of course, love Keymaster.
Yeah. So the Kickstarter that I backed a while back was for the second edition. What they did was, because the first edition was out there, it was everywhere, you have a second edition. You could either buy the second edition straight up or a conversion pack with the expansion inside, which was really cool. I really liked that offering, because my first edition of Campy Creatures, I didn't want it just like, oh, just toss it out the window or have to give it away because it was outdated. They did a really good job of selling this thing, and you can find it in stores now. You can find a copy where it's either just buying the second edition straight up or the conversion kit if you have their original along with the expansion. So
Ryan, like, as a, I guess maybe a quick overview of what the original game was about.
Yeah.
So those people that don't remember can kind of get a feel for what we're going to be talking about.
Yeah. So Campy Creatures, you are, everybody at the table is a scientist, and you are sending out your silly creatures to collect mortals. And so these mortals roll out. The game takes place over three rounds for a game, and each round you have a hand of your campy creatures. They're numbered zero through eight, I think. Kaiju is eight, I believe. So the kaiju's eight. He's the most powerful creature, but he doesn't have a bonus given to him. But then you've got the blob, who is a nobody, but the blob actually takes on the form of another creature. And so what you're doing is everybody plays their cards face down, so you don't know what everybody else has played. One, two, three, everybody flips it over, and basically in from highest to lowest, players get to choose the mortal from the table. So, but there's a lot of caveats to that, because some creatures, like Creature from the Black Lagoon, has you take it. He's number one, so he has you pulling the mortal and actually giving it to somebody else. So you can kind of look at the mortals and say, I don't want these mortals because they're negative points. Take these mortals and now throw it at somebody who's winning the game. And so you go through three rounds of that. Each time you end a round, you'll have like one creature left in your hand, probably one or two. And then the round ends, reshuffle the mortals, count the score, all that stuff. They do a really good job with tiebreakers with this thing called the Clashometer, which is really cool. So it kind of breaks ties, and it's kind of fancy looking. The one thing that I really enjoyed about the second edition is that the board, board that sits in the middle of the table is larger. That was one of my biggest criticisms of the original game, was that the game came with this small board that was very, very well designed, very well thought out, and the tokens just were too large. I mean, the board was too small. It wasn't that the tokens were too large. The board was tiny, and it felt constricting. If two people were tied for something, you just kind of had to lay the tokens next to each other and be like, everybody remember, we're at 19, you know?
Right.
So they fixed that in the second edition, which I'm super happy about.
Yeah, and that was something you had talked about in the past, and it's, again, talking about how companies can use an expansion or a second edition to adjust something that they're getting feedback on. So it sounds like that has been done here. And so what are some of the other things besides a fancy new board that we're going to be seeing in this game from the expansion?
Yeah, so the expansion itself is actually going to come with a couple new creatures. The creatures are actually replacing, not really replacing, you can choose to mix and match them, which I like because it's kind of modular, you know, kind of like what we were talking about with the Bloody Inn, Carney's Edition. So the creatures that you're going to get with it, you're going to get the Tarantula, which is a giant spider. That's really cool because what the spider does is it actually puts venom on, it infects the mortal with venom. And if you know somebody's chasing after one of the mortals, you can infect it with venom. They're going to take -3 points as soon as they draft that mortal, which is really cool. So you can make mortals less appetizing or appealing to the other players, which is really cool. The Mad-Eating Plant, that one's pretty cool. It looks like Audrey 2 from Little Shop of Horrors. The Rogue Robot, the monster is probably my favorite. That obviously Frankenstein's monster, that's what he looks like. This guy actually gives you a +2 strength to your next creature that you play. So when you look around the table and you're like, what do they have left in their hand? You have to estimate for the fact that they have +2 on their next turn. So you can swap out. A lot of times what we'll do is we'll swap out 2 or 3 of the creatures and not play with all the brand new creatures. We'll swap out a couple of them, especially since there are people that we're still teaching this game to and things like that. So, but they're really fun. The other thing you'll notice is in second edition, they introduce a location. So these battles are happening at specific locations. There are icons in the second edition that have a little like house icon up at the top corner. That house icon, whoever has the most, it's set collection, basically. Whoever has the most of that icon gets the perk from the location. Sometimes it can be, hey, sub in a brand new creature. You get it for the next round, or it might allow you to discard some -points, or, you know, there's a number of things that you can do with that location. So it's cool to fight for those. And then you've got new mortals that are introduced along with a couple locations in the expansion number one, the investigators, and then the basic angry mob, which is a blue card which gives you -points. So when the investigator shows up and he kind of attracts the angry mob to him, so it's interesting mechanics. And you can play with, a lot of times we play with the creatures and kind of introduce the investigator and angry mob as people have played a couple times, you know?
So. Yeah. And the other thing, you know, about the game is it's got that beautiful artwork that we saw the first time around. All of it seems to be just as gorgeous as it was the first time.
Yeah.
It sounds like to me that what you're getting is basically more variations on this, to where the decisions that you make each turn are a little bit more than just I felt like in the first game it was I've got a good card to be able to get the high point, or I don't, so I'm going to try to give away the bad card. There's a few more wrinkles in there that force you to think a little bit more about what you've got going on.
Yeah, one of the funniest things that I saw was people played the tarantula. I think it was a 4-player game that I was watching around, earlier this month. I was teaching some people how to play. I think we were playing four people or so. And 3 tarantulas came out at the exact same time. And what they did was they all threw their -3 venom onto all the positive cards that were available for the mortals in the middle of the table. Meaning that whoever was the kaiju or whoever was the beast or whatever card the other person or people played, they were like, I'm not going to take negative points immediately. So they were picking garbage mortals that they really didn't need that were giving them -1 just to stay away from the -3 that they were going to receive. And then because the tarantula is not poisoned by itself, the tarantulas, all the people who played tarantulas ended up getting all the good cards. It was really cool to watch. I was like, you could not have planned that. Everybody was just like, they all played it at once, and it really changed the momentum of that round.
So, Ryan, if I'm looking at, the Amazon page for Keymaster Games.
Yeah.
If I just type in Campy Creatures, right at the top I've got Campy Creatures 2nd Edition, mm-hmm. Campy Creatures Expansion 1, Campy Creatures Conversion Edition.
Yeah.
What do I need to buy if I'm hearing about this game and loving it? What is it that I need to buy to be able to play with all the stuff you're talking about?
So if you already own the original Campy Creatures, which I know a lot of people out there do because they jumped on the Kickstarter or purchased it earlier, buy the conversion pack, and that's going to convert all the cards and everything. You actually will keep, the way the conversion pack works, you actually keep your original monster cards and you throw away all your original mortal cards. So I actually took my mortal cards and gave them to my daughter, who's using them for artwork and art projects and doing things in her room with those mortal cards. So you'll throw away all of those.
Witchcraft, probably.
What now?
Witchcraft, probably.
Probably. Yeah. You'll get some new tokens. You'll get additional tokens and things like that, which are really nice. And, of course, the board and locations. That's the conversion pack. Did you say conversion pack with expansion 1?
Yeah, the conversion pack, it says, includes expansion 1.
Yes, and then you'll get, of course, the extra creatures. You'll get the extra mortals, the investigator, and the angry mob, along with a couple new locations. So you're going to get everything you need. If you have never bought Campy Creatures before, buy the 2nd edition, but then you can also pick up the expansion 1 for I think $14.99, something like mm-hmm. that. I actually bought it for a coworker for his birthday because his wife bought him Campy Creatures 2nd edition, but when he opened it, he looked at it, he was like, didn't get any tarantula cards or the monster, and I was like, oh, yeah, you also have to get the expansion because we've been playing it at work, and right. He was so excited about the expansion, he didn't realize that it wasn't part of 2nd edition. So,
right.
The expansion's very worth it. Like, it adds some new abilities and replayability for this game that we already love, and I don't know. I see this universe of Campy Creatures expanding further and further. There's a reason why this is called expansion 1. Right. I think Keymaster has a long-term vision for this franchise of games because it is very good and the artwork is incredible. Emmerich Office did a great, great job, and I can't wait to see what comes next.
Yeah, when I went to their office, I was like, there was a lot in me that was having to keep from just stealing some of the artwork off the wall.
Oh, yeah.
They had a bunch of the prints of Campy Creatures and stuff like that. Yeah, Keymaster always does a great job with their artwork, and it's a beautiful game. So, Ryan, last question. If I'm thinking I want to buy a game to celebrate for Halloween, is this your top pick for Halloween this year? Or have you got some others that I might need to be considering? What do you think?
I would say we've played this Horrified and Grim Masquerade the most this year. Mm-hmm. So we've had a couple Halloween parties, and I would say those 3 are the ones that have hit the table the most this year. We really, gotcha. Really enjoy them. And so if you're looking for, and honestly, Campy Creatures is one of those games that while we bust out and play it, Halloween parties and all that stuff, Camping Creatures gets played all year long. Doesn't matter if it's Christmas or Thanksgiving or 4th of July, Camping Creatures is on the table because it's such a great card game. And it takes a little bit of a learning curve. I remember trying to teach my extended family how to play Camping Creatures. It took them a good full game to understand it. But once they got it, it's like, hey, can we play that weird game with the monsters? Yeah, we can.
Right. And it's mostly cards, right? I mean, like, there is the center board that you're talking about, but, like, I mean, I feel like you can do a lot of it with cards if you needed to. So, yeah I mean, it's a game that I think will appeal to families. I think it's got a little bit of a learning curve, but once they're in, you can get them. And it's got that appeal of the beautiful artwork that I think will get people to sit down around the table. So, Ryan, thank you for sharing this with us. You know, we love Keymaster games. They're the best. So, we think people should go out and check them out, check out their games, not just Campy Creatures. They got plenty of other stuff. And also while you're checking them out, you can check us out, oneboardfamily.com. You've got a ton of stuff, on that website. You've also totally should check out our Facebook page. Ryan and his family and Bob and all his other guests have been doing lots of live playthroughs, this month of different games. And they're always very entertaining, especially if you can jump on. I love to jump on and taunt everyone.
Yes.
It's my favorite thing to do. You know, if I can't be there in person, might as be there annoyingly in spirit. and you can also check out Twitter. We're on Instagram. We're everywhere. And so you can check those things out. And YouTube, we've got a ton of stuff. So also, we've got a Patreon page. We would love for you to check that out and support us and join us. You know, we're getting close to the holiday season where we pass out a nice little gift to all our Patreon supporters at a certain level. I can't remember the exact level, but join us on Patreon and you can get in on that.
Yeah. This year, all Patreon donors are getting a Christmas card from us. We started this last year, so all Patreon donors will get a special Christmas card from One Board Family. But then at the $5 level, we have a special surprise for Christmas for everybody because we have a very wonderful, wonderful game company donating some games that you guys will receive as a Christmas gift for our Patreon donors at the $5 level. So definitely check that out. We are very grateful for our Patreon donors, and definitely helps us. We actually recently used some of that Patreon money to invest in some streaming service that we needed. So now, anytime we do a live stream, we are actually streaming to Facebook and YouTube at the same time, which is something that we could not do before, which we are so grateful that we have the ability to do something like that now.
Yeah.
Just trying
to. It used to take us 3 hours of editing. We're now able to do, you know, quickly and get it right to YouTube for everybody to be able to use.
Absolutely. So thanks, everybody, for listening. And until next time, we will see you at the table.
At the table.
Spooky table.
Yeah, how...
Punchboard Media.
Where we all
bring something
to the table.
Pull up a chair
at punchboardmedia.com.